Welcome to Practical Christian Living.
You may wonder what to do in a certain situation. Every so often, people will come up to me after a service and they'll kind of tell me what there's going on in their life and they'll ask me, what should I do? Sometimes it's like they tied their lives into a knot that nobody could untie. That is an impossibility. And I'm supposed to say, oh, it's easy, do this. And I find myself saying, what does love tell you to do?
Jesus said all of the laws of the Old Testament, over 600, can be fulfilled in just one word, love. We are talking about freedom in our series through Galatians, freedom from the law and its unrealistic expectations. The only way to fulfill the law is to love. Today, we look at walking in the Spirit, the only way we can truly choose to love in all situations. We're in Galatians 5, verses 16 through 26 with Robert Furrow, pastor of Calvary, Tucson.
Father, we are thankful again for your word. We approach it as we do the milk and the meat by which we grow. We realize it is a lamp unto our feet, is a light unto our path, and it contains all that we need for life and godliness. We pray that you would take your word, bring it deeply into our hearts. Help us to have a tremendous understanding of this passage by the time we are done. We thank you for this in the name of Jesus. We pray. Amen. There are three things that we are told to do in Galatians chapter 5. There are a lot of passages in the Bible that tell us that there are things we're not supposed to do, but it is always more powerful to discover what you are supposed to do. The Bible tells us not to let any corrupt communication come from our mouth. The Bible gives us a lot of don'ts, a lot of things that we aren't supposed to do. But I think there's more do's, more things that God says, I want you doing these things. And I heard someone say many years ago, you got to get busy doing the do's, and if you're busy doing the do's, you don't have time to do the don'ts. And I like that. If you're doing what the Bible tells you to do, you're going to have a lot less time on your hands to do the don'ts that are there. If you're concentrating on the do's, then you don't have as much time to do the don'ts. Now, Galatians chapter 5, verse 1 gives us the first of the three things we're told to do in chapter 5, and that is, first of all, stand fast. We started off with our study last week with a question, could someone shake you from your faith? Could someone sit down with you and convince you that you haven't done enough to be saved, that you have to do something, that Jesus died on the cross, but that wasn't sufficient. You've got to be baptized. You've got to join a church. You've got to believe a certain doctrine in order to be saved. Or you've got to go to church on Saturday, or believe in Jesus only, or be baptized in the name of Jesus only, or speak in tongues, or, and the list goes on of things that people have added. And really, if you think, yeah, there's something I can add in order to be saved, really? When you think of the cross, you think of the work Jesus did on that cross, you think of him in the garden making that decision to go, even though he knew that his life, it would cost him that torturous time in his life, that they hung him on that tree for 6 hours, that the nails were driven through his hands and feet, that he bled and he suffered and he died for you, and then you're going to go to church on Saturday and add to that. It does seem trivial, doesn't it? Or whatever else you might think that you can do. Can someone persuade you? And if they can, I would encourage you again to read the scriptures, find out what salvation is, and then believe it. Because the Bible says, as many as believe will be given the power to become a child of God. It is by believing that you are saved and believing alone by the grace of God, and it is through faith, and that faith is believing in what he's done for you. And so Paul says, stand fast, don't be shaken, don't let anyone shake you away from the freedom that you have in Christ. Now the second is found in verse 14. It says, for all of the law is fulfilled in one word, even this, you shall love your neighbor as yourself. The one word that the law is fulfilled in is love. Another passage in Romans chapter 8 tells us that all of the law and all of the prophets is fulfilled in this, that you love one another. That's a very great, good passage. I think there's over 600 laws in the Old Testament. plus whatever the prophets might add to that, you can fulfill all of the law and all of the prophets by love. If you walk in love, you may have made your life a complicated mess. You may wonder what to do in a certain situation. Every so often, people will come up to me after a service and they'll kind of tell me what's going on in their life and they'll ask me, what should I do? Sometimes it's like they tied their lives into a knot that nobody could untie. That is an impossibility. And I'm supposed to say, oh, it's easy, do this. And I find myself saying, what does love tell you to do? Go back to the basics here. What does love tell you to do? And it's amazing how much we can really discover by looking at what love, and remember, love's not always mamby-pamby, right? James Dobson made the concept of tough love famous. Sometimes there is tough love. Sometimes there's fake love. Somebody walks up to you with a, I just love you, brother, and just, you're just creeping me out, that's all you're doing. I'm not really sure that's love. That's real cult-like to me. Real love is active in caring for people and loving them. And so the second thing it says that we are to do, first, stand fast in your freedom. Second, walk in love. Third, verse 16, which begins our study for tonight. I say then, walk in the Spirit, and you will not fulfill the lusts of the flesh. Now that is a great passage, similar to the passage that says, if you sow to the Spirit, from the Spirit you will reap life. But if you sow to the flesh, from the flesh you will reap corruption. Walk in the Spirit and you will not fulfill the things of the flesh. Now I could tell you to stop fulfilling the things of the flesh. I could say, stop drinking. If you're an alcoholic or if you're one that struggles with the stronghold of alcohol, maybe you've justified that sin in your life. It's okay for me to have a beer or two. The problem is you never just have a beer or two. And everybody knows it that's around you. They know the struggle that you have, but you've justified it to yourself, and you finally get to the point where you say, all right, I'm going to quit. Maybe you wake up with a hangover. Maybe you almost got another DUI. You realize the consequences of that. And so you finally said, I'm going to quit. So you say, I'm going to stop drinking beer. No more beer. I'm done drinking beer. But by the time you've said that to yourself three times, you want a beer. You have caused yourself to want it. There have been sermons that have been preached against sexual sin that have planted more seeds in people's minds when they taught it. It would have been better for them to never have gone to the Bible study because the person got so graphic that they planted seeds in it. I've heard there's and I'm not against Alcoholics Anonymous, okay? I know there are some pastors who are. I'm not, all right? But I do know there have been those that have gone to Alcoholic Anonymous meetings, and because they talk about drinking alcohol there, by the time they leave, they're ready to go get a drink. They went to it, and then they went and they got a drink afterwards because all they did while they were there was talk about it. That's the problem of trying to defeat the flesh by defeating the flesh. We all have certain behavioral issues. All of us. There's not one of us in here. I'm looking around to see if there's a baby in here because only a baby might not have behavioral issues. All right, I don't see one. So everybody in this room has behavioral issues. And what I mean by that is there's a certain pathway that you have allowed to take in your mind. And once the first domino falls, the rest of them go. And those that study the mind tell us there are actual paths that are made in your mind by electric currents that you easily go down again. That once a decision is made, boom, there's no barriers. You just go right into that direction. That's called strongholds in the Bible. The Bible says that we battle against those strongholds. Those are those behavioral issues. You try to correct your behavioral issue by just saying, I'm not going to do it anymore. Man, you have a lot of work cut out for you. In fact, I don't know that it can really be done. You have to get to something that's destroying you. You've got to get to some point where you realize my life is over if I continue in this. There's got to be some real shock to get you out of that behavioral issue. Now, the good news is those pathways in your mind can be rerouted. You can actually begin to make new pathways. You can set up a new row of dominoes to take you in a different direction. But the way that you do that is by walking in the Spirit. Instead of saying, I'm not going to get angry anymore. When you get up in the morning, you say, all right, Lord, I really struggle with anger, and I got to drive to work. And so, Lord, please, help me drive in the Spirit. Sure enough, the green light turns on in front of you. You're 5 minutes late, not because it was your fault, but your kids didn't get out of that. Now you're late going to work, 5 minutes, and you got to make it up. And the light turns green. You're like, come on, come on, come on, come on, come on, come on. And when you hit your horn, is it in love? Beep, beep. The light's green. Beep, beep. Or is it meek? Right? We've all seen somebody blow a gasket like that, right? And you've probably been that person blowing a gasket like that. Say, Lord, what do you want me to do today? I want to be available for you. I want to sow to my spirit. I want to get up and read. If I don't have time in the morning to read, I want to read before I go to bed at night. I want to seek you. I want to share you today. What does your spirit want me to do? How does the spirit want me to respond when I'm driving? How does the spirit want me to respond to the guy at work that's so annoying? How does the spirit of God, how is it directing me to move? So instead of saying, I'm going to be driven by my flesh, all of us have drives. All of us have that button that can be pushed for anger, just different levels. The person that has the longest level of being pushed probably is the one that's going to go off the most. We all have those. So we can be driven by our hunger, by our thirst, by our sex drive, by our default button, I call it, which is selfishness, where we're just seeking ourselves, seeking our own desires, our own happiness, our own ambition, our own fame, whatever it is, you can put into that blank whatever you want to, or you can be, say, Lord, I'm here for you, and I want to live for you, and I want to walk in the Spirit today. I want to be sensitive to the Spirit, that He can just kind of push me. The Bible compares the Holy Spirit to wind. Wind fills our sails, directs us. The Holy Spirit didn't crack you in the head. That's the flesh. The flesh grabs a hold of you. Do this! The Spirit of God is gentle, and it persuades you. And if you are listening, if you are open to God, you will feel the wind, and the Holy Spirit will guide you where the flesh drives you. And so the flesh is overcome when we walk in the Spirit. Read it again. I say then, walk in the Spirit, and you shall not fulfill the lusts of the flesh. The best way to battle against your flesh is by walking in the Spirit, not by battling the flesh. And then it gives us this real picture of who we are. It says, for the flesh lusts against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh. And these are contrary to one another, so that you do not do the things that you wish. There's a battle inside of every Christian. The flesh fighting against the Spirit. The flesh lusting against the Spirit and the Spirit against the flesh. The Spirit wants to do one thing and the flesh wants to do another. They do not want to do the same thing. They want to do different things. They want to respond and they want to react differently. And there's a battle in there. Now, I'm a young Christian. I went and got this teaching by Pastor Chuck, by J. Vernon McGee. And all of a sudden, it's dawning on me what I'm dealing with. That I have in my flesh a desire to do things that are ungodly, but yet in my spirit, a desire to do the things that are godly. And there's this constant battle that's taking place. Now, a lot of Christian friends that I know would say, well, that's the devil. The devil's the one who's making you try to do those things. Well, the devil appeals to my flesh for sure. Satan, that's the part of the, you know, he's coming against us in the flesh. But it's not the devil, it's you. It's your flesh. C.S. Lewis wrote about this particular aspect. He said, one day your flesh is going to drop away. One day it's all going to be gone. And you're going to stand before God, just your spirit. Because the flesh is gone with all of its lusts one day. And now you stand before God with just your spirit, Christian. What's your spirit going to look like? Is it going to be this little anemic, hi, I'm the spirit. Flesh pushed me around a lot. I said, maybe we should pray. And the flesh said, no, sleep. Oh, okay. And that was it. Or when your flesh is taken away, will there be a significant character? This is who I am. Because I walked in the Spirit. Because I fed the Spirit. Because I sowed to the things of the Spirit to reap life, not to the things of the flesh. Your flesh can be so strong that it can dominate the Spirit. or your spirit can gain strength and dominate the flesh. Or as Jesus put it, when he told Peter, the spirit's willing, but your flesh is weak. Now to Jesus, the weakness of the flesh was that he would give in to the things of the flesh. Some of you guys, your spirit is willing, but your flesh is weak. And so whenever you're tempted in anything in the flesh, you give in to it. Because of the weakness of your flesh, you give in to it. Because there's this constant battle going on inside of us. Now, I need to say a couple things about the battle. I heard it said that you could defeat that battle. I used to go, when I was a teenager, to a church that was part of the holiness movement. I was taught that you could get to the place where you never sinned. I was told by these pastors that they hadn't sinned in however many years they all had their little line. I hadn't sinned in 12 years or whatever. They were lying and sinning even as they said it. I didn't realize that. All I knew is when I went to go try to, you know, be perfect, it never happened. Found myself in great failure and brokenhearted quite often because I really wanted to serve God and I really wanted. And each week, each Sunday night, I would go forward. Oh, okay, Lord, I give my life to you. I want to serve you. And I'm not going to do that anymore. Only to fail once again. Only to come to that place of great failure. What I didn't realize was that the battle with my flesh was going to go on until the day that the flesh is taken away. When does your thirst stop? When does your hunger stop? When do you no longer have a sexual drive? When do those things quit? When is the flesh no longer the flesh? And so it just makes sense now when you think about it, doesn't it? I could always be driven by my flesh. I'm hungry. I want to eat. Well, wait for me, honey. I'm hungry too. Well, just wait. I'll get ready. No, I'm going to eat now. We could always be driven by our flesh. It will always be a battle. Now, you may not always give in to it, but it will always be a battle. And as a Christian, we need to realize that. The flesh lusts against the spirit, and the spirit lusts against the flesh, and everybody deals with it. That's what I didn't know as a young Christian. I thought once you got to a point of maturity, you got a little halo, and I never deal with the flesh at all. I never struggle with the flesh. I always do what's right. I never have any. I thought that happened at a certain point of maturity, but it doesn't. There's always the battle that goes on. You got to keep walking in the Spirit. You got to keep allowing God to use you in order to defeat those things. Now it says the flesh lusts against the Spirit and the Spirit against the flesh. And these are contrary to one another. They're not, you're either walking in the flesh or you're walking in the Spirit. There's no middle ground. You can't say, well, I walk in the Spirit a lot and the flesh at the same time. You don't. You're either walking in the flesh or the Spirit. They're contrary to one another. So you don't do the things you wish, it says there in the end of verse 17. How often have you been there? You don't do the things you wish. How often have you gone to bed at night, shut the light off, and laid down in bed and thought, you idiot. Why did you do that again? Lord, I'm sorry. Maybe feeling defeated, maybe feeling like you could never really gain victory over it. Paul talked about it in Romans chapter 7. And we're going to relate to this too. The very things that I want to do, I don't do. But the very things that I don't want to do, those are the things that I end up doing. We go, amen. Been there before. Done that. Things I don't want to do, those are the very things I did. The things I didn't want to do, those are the things I didn't do. How can it be? Because our flesh is there. And it's a constant battle. We need to walk in God's grace. We need to know that God can forgive us and cleanse us and make it right now. Like you've never sinned before. Isn't that amazing? God just keeps giving us new starts. God's like, okay now, okay now, okay now. God just keeps giving us new starts. And you think, God's done with me. I've blown it too many times. And Jesus says, well, forgive your brother 7 times 70. Really? Peter, remember? How many times do I forgive my brother? Well, how many times does God forgive you? If you would say today, Lord, I really want to serve you and I want to follow you. And I want to walk by the Spirit. Verse 18, but if you are led by the Spirit, you are no longer under the law. Now, this is the key. This brings us back to our context. Paul is talking about these people that have gone and begun to live the ceremonial laws, the dietary laws. They've been circumcised. They've gone back into Judaism. And he says, if you walk in the Spirit, you already fulfill the law. You don't have to keep the law. You walk in the Spirit. By walking in the Spirit, you already fulfill the law. You are not under the law anymore because you're walking by the Spirit. If I'm walking by the Spirit, why do I got to worry about the law? It supersedes it. If I'm up in the morning and I'm praying, I'm seeking God, and I'm being directed by Him, and I feel His presence. I feel his movement. I get used to that. I'm now being led by him. How am I ever going to break the law? Because the Holy Spirit's leading me where he wants to take me. So I walk in the Spirit. I'm no longer under the law. Now, the works of the flesh are evident. Now, I love that he says that. He says they're evident, and then he gives us a list. And I got to tell you, I've done studies before where I've taken a whole Wednesday night and gone over. I even broke this list one time in our study through Galatians up into three different studies where I just took the list of the flesh, and for 3 weeks we talked about the flesh. I don't know that that was necessarily a good idea. We talked about the Greek words. We talked about what the root words were. We talked about where examples of the word were in the Bible. I don't know that those were very productive studies. I don't know that he really wanted us to do that. It's almost as if the list comes pretty quick. It's almost as if we don't need a lot of explanation as we go through this list. Do we really need to dive into the root words of this list? They're evident. Well, we'll stop at a few of them as we go through. I say that and then we'll stop at some. But the first are sexual. Everybody battles in this arena. Everybody battles in the arena. It's only the enemy who would say that you're the only person battles in the arena. Everybody does. And so they're the first ones that are brought up. Verse 19, the works of the flesh are evident, which are adultery. We all know what that is. Fornication. We all know what that is. Uncleanliness. Again, that's sexual sin. It's kind of the concept of lawlessness. It's just living in an unclean state sexually. It's settling into it. Saying, well, I've had these lustful thoughts. I've looked at these things, and I guess it's always going to be that way, so that's where I am. It's not saying, Lord, I'm sorry. Will you forgive me? Will you help me to get control of my thoughts? Will you help me to be pure sexually? That's the desire, the heart of a Christian. And then you are cleansed by the blood of the Lamb, and you are justified, just like you never sinned at all, and you now stand clean before him. And I believe from that place, it's easier to walk in purity. If you just, you know, walking in the mud puddles, you don't worry about your shoes getting dirty. If your boots are already muddy, you just walk in the mud. But if you've got brand new white tennis shoes on and you walk out on a rainy day, you're jumping over the mud puddles. We get forgiven by God and we're jumping over the mud puddles. Lord, I want to walk in that purity, the forgiveness that I've received. It goes on, lewdness, just crudeness, just being crude. Here recently, there have been some pastors who have begun to be crude from the pulpit, to say crude things, defend that crudeness. It's never right, especially from the pulpit. But it's never right. The Bible says, let no impure thoughts enter our mind. The Bible says, don't let any corrupt words leave our mouths. Idolatry, now we turn to spiritual things. Idolatry, putting something in the place of God. Sorcery, satanic worship. Hatred, contentions, bickering, fighting. Jealousies, outbursts of wrath. Selfish ambitions, dissensions, and heresies. Heresies are false teachings. That's quite a list. And I don't know that there's anybody who would say, well, I don't have a struggle with any of those things. You might not have certain struggles, but I guarantee you somewhere in this list you find yourself. Somewhere in the list you go, oh yeah, that's me. If that hasn't helped, let's just go to some other things of the flesh. Envy, murders, Jesus said. If you are angry with your brother, you murdered him in your heart. Probably murdered a lot of people in your heart while you're driving to work in the morning. Drunkenness, revelries, and the like, of which I told you beforehand, I have also told you in times past that those who practice such things will not inherit the kingdom of God. Now, I'm glad he didn't say those who do these things will not inherit the kingdom of God. Because which one of us hasn't done these things?
We hope you've been blessed, encouraged, and edified by what you've heard here on Practical Christian Living, a ministry of Calvary Chapel here in Tucson, Arizona. If you'd like to hear more of Robert Furrow's teachings, visit calvarytucson.com, where you'll find recordings of weekly services at Calvary Tucson and also archives of Practical Christian Living programs. We are grateful for your donations that help fund the production and broadcast for Practical Christian Living. If this ministry has blessed you and you'd like to support it with your financial gift of any amount, please mail your donation to Calvary Tucson, PCL Radio, 5170 South Julian Drive, that's J-U-L-I-A-N, Tucson, Arizona, 85706. If you live in the Tucson area or you're ever visiting our community, we'd love for you to stop by one of our two campuses in East and Southwest Tucson. You can find service times online at calvarytucson.com. We'd love to have you visit for Bible study. Drop into our Solid Ground coffee shop and bookstore, or take a minute to look through our Mission Thrift Store located at our West Campus, which benefits our various missions projects. Have you accepted Jesus into your life or have questions about salvation? Email us at saved@calvarytucson.com. That's S-A-V-E-D at calvarytucson.com. And don't forget to follow us on social media, Instagram at Calvary Tucson or Facebook at Calvary Chapel Tucson. And we want to remind our local listeners that you can watch Practical Christian Living Sunday mornings at 8:30 on KGUN9. May you walk in the grace and peace of Jesus today.